I preach this message with some degree of trepidation for two reasons. First, there are people who don't think they need to hear it. And two, there are people who don't want to hear it. I remember preaching on this theme of receiving about 20 years ago and received a note shortly thereafter. And the note said, "Dr. Krimmer, you're an idiot. No one needs advice on how to receive gifts. The hard part is giving gifts. Receiving them is easy. What a useless sermon. Merry Christmas." Reading that card, I thought of an old Peanuts cartoon where Charlie is looking over the shoulder of his sister Sally as she's writing a school theme called "The Meaning of Christmas." She's only written one sentence. "To me, the joy of Christmas is getting." Charlie Brown says, no, you've got it wrong. Giving. The joy of Christmas is giving. She looks at him and says, "I don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about." She writes again, "To me, the joy of Christmas is getting all you can while the getting is good." Charlie says, no, the joy of Christmas is in giving. And Sally looks at him as she would an alien being and says, "Like, wow." Many of you probably have no trouble receiving gifts. But I think of a homebound person I visited a year or so ago who said of one of her beloved family members, his problem is he doesn't know how to receive a gift. I suspect that criticism can be applied more widely than we might think. Indeed, one of the reasons I don't want to preach this sermon because I am afraid you might remember it and you might hold me to account when I don't live up to the high principles I'm about to articulate. Because the truth is, the older I get, the less enthused I am about the question, "What do you want for Christmas?" What enthuses me, energizes me, is trying to find that perfect gift that will energize somebody else. I'm not that interested in what I can receive, but what I can give. And that is an actual theological problem. Because the truth is, many of us can't even receive a compliment, much less a gift, without any feeling but embarrassment. And yet at the heart of the Christian message is this theme: you cannot truly give what God has to give until you first learn to receive. You cannot truly share but you have not first opened your own being to receive. Christ is God's great gift, but we must open our being to receive it profoundly, genuinely, in the abyss of our being, and only then can we truly share it. Which leads me to the very first principle in the art of receiving. It takes just as much grace to receive a gift as it does to give one. To truly receive a gift requires humility and courage. What does Jesus say? "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anyone will open, I will come in and eat with them, commune with them." Think of Christ as a friend on your doorstep with an armload of gifts. But those gifts remain useless unless you're willing to receive them, unless you're willing to open your being and allow Him to come in with gifts of faith and hope and love and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness. How many of us have truly opened our being to receive those gifts? Because only then can we share them. How many of us have left Christ outside the door of our heart with presence, unopened presence in His arms? I think of that conversation between the religious authorities and John the Baptist. Almost comic, they said, "Are you the Messiah?" "No." "Are you a prophet?" "No, not really." Do you have any authoritative religious training?" "No." "Well, then where do you get your authority from?" "God." And those religious leaders cannot open their being to the spiritual giftedness of John. And so all of the insights that he has to deliver remain closed to them. How many of us have closed ourselves off to profound spiritual gifts because we don't know how to open our being to God's beneficence? There's a corollary to that first principle. It takes more courage and grace to as much to receive a gift as to give one. And the corollary of that is, when you receive a gift, you also receive the giver. Somebody gives you a gift, you say, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that." Now that sounds okay, but there's a shadow side to that statement. What they could be saying is, "I don't want to open my being to you. If I accept your gift, I have to admit my neediness that you might fill." But the poorest person on earth is someone who cannot open their being to receive a gift from another. "Oh, you shouldn't have done that. That sounds innocent." But what it may really say is, "I'm trying to keep my soul at least partially closed to you." But to receive the gift is also to accept the giver. Second principle of receiving: regard a gift as an expression of grace and not a burden. Regard it as an expression of grace and not a burden. "Oh, Dr. Krimmer, who would regard a gift a burden?" "Oh, really?" Somebody gives you a gift and you're thinking, "Dang, I don't have one for them yet." In reality, most of us are gift-giving Pharisees, practicing a strict ethic of reciprocity, intending to match gift dollar for dollar, strength for strength, beauty for beauty. And in so doing, we turn every gift into an obligation and a burden. But think of Mary. Think of Mary, this poor, unwed, obscure Jewish girl who is told by God that she will give birth to the Savior of the Lord. She has nothing to give God in return, and by every right, she should consider this an intrusion into her life, an intolerable burden, a horrible encumbrance. But instead, she regards the gift as grace. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." I'm not sure we Protestants give Mary her due, because she patterns for us how to receive a gift truly, with total abandonment, total openness, total obedience, total joy. She has nothing to give God but the openness of her life in faith. And so she does. Third principle. In receiving a gift, look at it from the giver's perspective. Look at it from the giver's perspective, not, oh, can I use this or not? But think about the giver's effort in giving you this gift. Jesus did that. If you and I had been in the temple that day when an old woman comes in and throws a couple of copper coins in the coffer, would we have noticed it? No. But Jesus had peered inside the heart of this woman and sensed her spiritual and emotional, her physical emptiness. And he says to those around him, this woman has given more than everybody else. He didn't look at the gift, which the temple authorities would have not even paid any attention to. He looked into the heart of the giver. When I think of this principle, a certain story, a painful story, comes to mind. My sister and I were probably late middle school, early high school. We wanted to give my mom a Christmas gift, but we were broke. So we decided we would create for her a cassette tape of songs that we sang ourselves, and readings and poetry. Even gathered a few neighborhood friends to help us. And when my mom played that tape on Christmas morning, it was humiliating. It was totally embarrassing. The only thing I've ever heard worse was Greg Brady singing Oh Holy Night on the Brady Bunch Christmas album. That will send chills up your spine for all the wrong reasons. My sister and I have endeavored over the years to find that tape and destroy it. But my mom has hidden it well, because she knows, regardless of the embarrassing product, what it reflects was the intent of givers to express love. Look at a gift, not as the gift, but the intent of the giver. And understand, fourth principle, all genuine gifts are expressions of praise, and they should be received with joy. When someone gives you a gift, they may well be trying to say to you, you make a difference in my life. You allow me to see the world differently because you're in it. You have enriched my existence. That's a statement of praise. What a profound thing it is to be told that your life enriches somebody else. And the only proper response is joy. It's a rare thing in this world for someone to say, you've made a difference in my life. And the only appropriate response is a joy that says, I am glad that Christ has been able to shine light through me to you. May I glorify God by your praise. What does Mary say as she receives the news that she will give birth to the Christ? My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit praises the Lord God, my Savior. May we, by our receipt of our gifts, not take them as praise of ourselves, but that affirmation God has used us to bring light into somebody else's life. All genuine gifts are praise. The only genuine response is joy. The fifth and final principle. How we receive gifts from others parallels how we receive gifts from God, and how we regard the very blessedness of our lives. I remember some years ago, after my first knee surgery, arthroscopic surgery, I waited a month or so and then hobbled through a couple mile run, which was also humiliating. But at the end of it, I paused and I said a prayer, "My Lord, thank you so much that for so much of my life I have enjoyed amazing health. I never realized it until now." Sometimes in Charlotte, when the weather would be horrible, I would go to an indoor track that was above a basketball court. And as I would run, I would watch the kids, often young men, playing ball down below. And they'd be so wrapped up in who was winning and who was losing. And I just wanted to stop the game and say, "Wake up! Don't you realize just the sheer joy of playing is a gift? And you won't be able to enjoy that gift forever." Do we realize that every blessing we enjoy, our spouse, our family, our home, our job, our possessions, our span of days, everything we enjoy bears the imprint of God, and over time, we have to surrender every one of those beloved gifts? Do we surrender them in conversation with God? Do we grasp the blessedness of every gift, the imprint upon every gift? I think of what Vince Scully, the longtime baseball commentator, said on the day he retired after 60 years in the business. "I am not sad that it's over. Rather, I am thankful for the experience. I'm not sad it's over. I am thankful for the experience." Do we have that kind of sense of the blessed nature of all of our lives? Jesus says again, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Will you open up and let me come in?" One of the saddest verses in all of the Bible is, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." John's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about the world. God, a giving God, gave his best unto the world. And the world has left the gift out on the doorstep unopened. Will we truly open our gifts? Will we truly practice the art of receiving? It takes as much grace to receive as to give. And a gift is an expression of grace and not a burden. And a gift is to be looked at from the perspective of the giver, not the gift. And all gifts are praise and should be received with joy. And how we receive the gifts from others mirrors how we open our being to God. We light the candles. Hope, peace, joy, love. But they're just words until we open our being and truly receive the Christ. Merry Christmas. May we pray together. Lord, we know that you're a giving God. May our hearts be those of receiving people. May we accept you as our God, our Savior. May we embrace your community and splice our lives into it. May we open gifts of fellowship and cooperation. May we feel your grace in the marrow of our being. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we